Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text is the gospel. Ascension. Normally it occurs during the week, and actually probably it did this week, but she decided to put it in here as ascension, which is fine. It's when Jesus departs. Okay, he's been with these guys for 3 years. He's led them through all kinds of things, even through the crucifixion and the resurrection, and now he's leaving. They knew this was going to happen, but I think they figured if they waited him out long enough, maybe they could get him to stay there. Maybe change his mind. Maybe hang around a while till they figured out what they were going to do, because they really had no idea what they were going to do. He tells them, stay here. Stay where you are until what God's going to send you comes. And the what God's going to send you come is the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is coming, but it doesn't happen till after Jesus ascends. So things have to go in the order they're supposed to. He's been crucified. He's been risen. He's alive. Now he ascends, and then Pentecost. So this is the last time that they'll see him. They know he's going to go, but they really hope he doesn't. And so what's he leave them with? What's his last instruction? Thus is it written that Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So what are the marching orders at the beginning of the church receives? Is it develop a synod? Is it make sure your doctrine's all straight? Work up the best version of whatever the Bible is that's acceptable to you and somebody else, and have a good show. What he says is, what I want you to do, what I want you to remember, very simply, that repentance and forgiveness should be reclaimed in my name to all nations. So you've got basically a law-gospel combination. Repentance is the law. Because repentance comes from understanding a sin, which, of course, was really popular with the Jews because they didn't think they did. Not unusual. 2,000 years later, there's a lot of people running around right now that don't think they do either. They think somebody else does. Somebody else probably is a sinner, an awful person. But they're pretty good, you know. We're pretty darn good. At least, I'm not as bad as that guy over there. Amazing how that works, isn't it? Always say, gee, you know, maybe I don't do things exactly right, but there's somebody worse than me. The law doesn't let you out. The law gets everybody. The law convicts us all of sin. The law says, look, everything you do that you thought was right is probably wrong, and if you thought it was right to begin with, that was probably wrong too. Anything that you thought that you figure was what God wanted when you really didn't understand was probably wrong. And that sets you in a position where God is against you. You're against God, God's against you. Repentance comes when you understand that you can't take care of yourself and you turn to God. Repentance is a turning about. The word talks about a change of the mind. The mind is the center of everything that goes on in the body. It's what hatches all both good and bad things. The things that you thought about that you probably knew you shouldn't come from the mind. The things that remind you that God cares also come from the mind. Repentance is a change of the mind. Preach repentance. Change your mind. Change it away from where you were at to where God wants you to be. And then the forgiveness of sins. So he doesn't leave you hanging on repentance and the law. He doesn't beat you up with the law and leave you hanging. He says, teach repentance, that everybody sins and falls short of the glory of God. And without that, we'd have absolutely no hope. We'd have nowhere to go and no way to get there. But then there's the forgiveness of sins. Gee, you know, beat them down. Understand the law. Preach repentance, that you got to change. But then preach forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins makes repentance possible. How many people would repent if they thought God was really going to get even with them? How many people would even listen to it if they didn't think that God was going to forgive them? If they didn't think that God was going to absolve them? If they didn't think they were going to get out of it by what Jesus did and what God teaches, how many would even confess? I mean, we just did a confession. I, a poor, miserable sinner, would we confess if we didn't know we were going to get forgiven? So he says, this is what it's about. One, he says, you know that they put me on the cross. You knew that I was going to die because I told you. I told you over and over and over for 3 years that this was going to happen. I told you why it was going to happen. And I told you that when it happened, it wasn't the last thing you were going to see. You were going to see me alive again. And as I'm going to live, as I'm living, you will too. And this is how it is. Your sins have been paid for by my sacrifice. I'm alive, so you're going to live. You're going to be forgiven, and you're going to have hope because of what I did. Understand this. So the law says, repent, change, make a big change in your lives to understand that what you were doing before was going to destroy you, and then take the chance that, gee, you know, maybe because God put Jesus on the cross, and then he resurrected him, maybe he'll forgive us. Teach repentance, the forgiveness of sins, wherever you go. And this is the marching order for the church. Now wait until the gift of the Holy Spirit comes. Then you'll be surprised what you can do. So they were told to wait. See what's going to happen next. If you listen to what happened to Jesus in 3 years, it was always, look and see what's going to happen next. Because there was always something else going on. This would happen here, something else would happen, something else would happen. You have to be patient, you have to watch, you have to listen, and you have to see what's going on. Holy Spirit's coming. That's what's going on. And that's what he tells them. Wait. Stay here. Hold together, and you will receive what God has assigned to send you to replace me, to take care of you, to give you guidance, to give you hope. And now, with what Ed said, you need the Spirit to guide you in this call committee process. That's the questions that you have to answer yourselves, and you have to ask God to take care of you with the answers necessary so you can make that choice. You're choosing who's going to run you, who's going to take care of this place for the next who knows how long. I don't know. I don't know how long the next person will stay. But you have to make the decision who it's going to be, and you have to use the guidance of the Holy Spirit to do that. So he says to his disciples as he's leaving, I'm going to leave you with this. I want you to teach two things, repentance, the change of mind, and the forgiveness of sin. What you want when you repent, and the fact of forgiveness. Because of my sacrifice, my death on the cross, and my resurrection, you have the forgiveness of your sins. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Have hope as time goes on. In his name we ask it. Amen.